You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Your pet is ill. You can't say exactly what is wrong, but you know there's a problem. Your veterinarian can be equally stumped. All the blood and urine tests are normal. Radiographs may show some areas of concern, but they're not definitive. Sometimes the only way the diagnosis is made is after the pet dies and a post-mortem is performed. The answer? Cancer. Why can't it have been diagnosed earlier? With the discovery of biomarkers for some cancers, now a simple blood test may be able to save your pet's life. My guest is the president and founder of Veterinary Diagnostic Institute, Randy Ringgold. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code DOCTOR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets. Every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Mr. Ringgold, thank you so much for being with us today. This is such an important subject.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm very happy to discuss this with you.
Well, first of all, what are biomarkers? You know, I've heard about it in veterinary medicine and human medicine, and I have to say I have used your product, and it's given me some great answers. But first of all, what are biomarkers?
Well, biomarkers are... They can be a variety of different substances, and they're used quite extensively in human diagnostics, and we are now just beginning to get them more introduced in veterinary diagnostics. But by their very nature, biomarkers are proteins or other types of fragments of different types of proteins that we find associations with diseases. So the body produces a particular type of protein that might be in response to a disease process, and we, like a detective, we find these type of molecules. We develop specific tests for them and then document them through clinical studies that shows what their performance might be in both the diagnosis and prognosis of various types of diseases. And as I said, they're very commonly used as human diagnostics, and we're going to see them a lot more in veterinary.
Could you give the listeners a couple of ideas in the human aspect? What are some of the biomarkers that are commonly used? I think of, for instance, women who've had breast cancer, and periodically they'll have blood tests done to see whether or not this cancer is coming back. And, you know, my question is, okay, being a woman, I would really like to know before breast cancer goes crazy, why can't it be checked for before I get the cancer instead of afterwards?
Well, in fact, I believe that these can happen. You know, human diagnostics has a lot of bureaucratic issues with healthcare systems, reimbursements, Medicare, that I think sometimes clouds the scientific side of things. But in fact, there are biomarkers that can detect cancer early, before that you can actually see, you know, visible symptoms. Because you got to realize the time you have some kind of symptom, a lump or something like that, in order to feel it or have some kind of symptomatic process, it's already advanced to a very considerable stage. And that's, you know, with any kind of disease process, particularly with cancer, early diagnosis is always equal to better outcomes. And examples, I think, of good biomarker, you mentioned breast cancer. CA125 is a biomarker for breast cancer. Some people may be familiar with that if they know somebody or have had breast cancer, this is often used in the monitoring of breast cancer. For men with prostate cancer, I think everybody knows about PSA, prostate-specific antigen. That's an example of a biomarker that's used for those kinds of diseases. So these kinds of biomarkers, I think, are going to become more prevalent not only in the management of known diseases, but as you have duly pointed out, early screening for the detection of it before symptoms or the detection of a lump ever happens. And I think that's where we certainly want to go with all the work that we're doing.
Because I am a great proponent of preventative medicine. So I'll oftentimes have people coming into the clinics twice a year for wellness exams, just making sure that their pet looks as healthy on the inside as it does on the outside. And one of the ways that I'll do that, even starting with young dogs and cats, is to get some blood work and to be able to have a test like this. Wow, it would be awesome. Randy, how did you get involved in this type of research? Because I know you have degrees in biology and chemistry.
Yeah, I've been involved in human diagnostics all my professional career, over 25 years. And I was working at a very large biotech firm on human diagnostics. And I got introduced to veterinary diagnostics because we made a particular test that was used for thyroid disease. And it was sort of the gold standard test. And veterinarians were often using this test quite a bit, and it was sort of surprising to me that this was occurring. And as I researched it more and more, I found out that, wow, veterinary medicine, not only is it very large, I mean, in the United States alone, there's about 160 million companion animals, but the tools for the veterinarian don't even come close to the tool set that the human doctor has. And yet, from a veterinarian perspective, I find this their job to almost be harder than a physician on the human side, because they're dealing with a lot of different species, a lot of different breeds, and that often offers a lot of challenges for them. And so it became very interesting to me to look forward to come up with these kinds of tests. And our first test we introduced was a heart test that's often used on the human side, and we developed a counter to it for the veterinary side to actually detect early heart disease. And this is called NT-proBNP test, and that's how we got started in all of this. And from there, we began looking on the human side and other pharmaceutical companies for other types of markers that we felt could have applications on the veterinary side. And that's how we got started on this, and it's becoming, I think, a very interesting and rewarding business for us.
Well, Randy, I knew that I liked you because, yes, though I am a bit prejudiced, veterinarians, I do think, have a harder job because we do treat so many species, and oftentimes, and all the time, they don't talk to us and they don't tell us what the problem is. So right now, it's just so exciting because veterinary medicine is really working with human medicine through companies such as yourself to try and make this one world, one health, one medicine. So, yes, we all do need to work together. Is I believe that I'm seeing more cases of cancer now than I did when I first graduated from Davis over 20 years ago. Would you concur that cancer seems to be much more prevalent and maybe speculate as to why?
Absolutely. I think cancer is a growing problem in not just veterinary medicine, human medicine as well. I think there's a number of reasons for it. First of all, animals are living a lot longer. And just by the sheer fact that you're living longer, the opportunity for immune dysfunction occurs. I mean, basically, what is cancer? Cancer is when cells begin to replicate uncontrolled, and they don't know that they don't know what they are anymore. And in fact, you know, cancer can begin almost anywhere. But one of the hallmarks of cancer is that it de-differentiates. It turns into a very immature form, to a point where it actually reverts back to a young, almost like a stem cell, and replicates uncontrollably. And that's the biggest problem with cancer. And so if an animal or a human lives long enough, the opportunities for these kinds of immune dysfunctions occur. And I think also the other reason that we're seeing these increases in cancer is because we are a product of our environment, both in terms of what we eat and how we are active. And our lifestyle, compared to centuries ago, has changed tremendously. We're no longer out in the sunlight as active as we used to be. Our diet has certainly changed, and we believe that these are all causative elements that are increasing the cancer rate. And the statistics are overwhelming. For veterinary applications, one out of three dogs are going to have some type of cancer. And if your dog lives greater than 10 years old, there's a 50% chance that your dog is going to die of cancer. And so with these kind of statistics, the ability to have something that detects that cancer early, I think, is very important in terms of the longevity and the lifespan and the quality of health of that animal.
You're right. It is just so devastating because oftentimes you're doing everything right, you know, for either a person or your pet. You're feeding it what you think is an appropriate amount of food. You're seeing your veterinarian. You're doing your blood work. And then all of a sudden, a pet comes in not feeling well. I take a look at it, I palpate, for instance, I'll feel a big lump in the abdomen. It's like, oh no, where did this come from? And it sometimes seems to just spring up overnight. Another reason why they need to come in twice a year. Now, you developed a test for cancer. What type of cancers does it look for?
Well, this is our test, which we call VDXITK, measures an enzyme in tumor replication. So it's a general tumor marker. And so it can actually detect a wide variety of tumor processes. But we have validated it, and actually with very advanced clinical studies, we have validated for canine lymphoma and hemangiosarcoma. Lymphoma is the number one cancer in dogs today, and hemangiosarcoma, well, it's a little bit more, it's more rare. It has a certain predilection for certain breeds, like golden retrievers, but it's extremely aggressive, and if you don't find that cancer early, it usually ends up being quite fatal. And so we have validated it for these two particular applications, but we believe that the test could be used for a wide variety of cancers. In fact, during one of our normal range studies that we were doing, one of the staff at the university's dog, otherwise normal, healthy, we had a positive test, and it turned out when they started doing an exam that it had an anal sac carcinoma.
Wow.
So it has the potential, and that's kind of where we're taking this test.
And I love that because so many of my clients really want to, you know, just check off all the boxes, do everything they can to make sure there isn't a problem. And I totally concur with you. Just like for ourselves, if you can find some type of a growth early, your chances of getting it all or extending that pet's good quality of life after you've removed it, if you can, radiation therapy, whatever, is just so, so improved. Now, you keep talking about dogs. Is this something that can be used in horses or cats or other creatures?
Yeah, the marker is not species specific. It can and does work in other species, including humans, which we can talk about as well. But we have validated for dogs. We are currently validating it in cats. It does work in cats, and we are almost completed in our clinical studies, and we'll be releasing it for felines here shortly, and then we'll begin working on horses. So it is can be used across a wide variety of species, but our job, in order to properly educate and show the veterinarian how to use the test, it's our job as a responsible company to do these studies and then tell them, you know, all right, well, the test is above this, and what does that mean, and how, you know, what do you do? Because that's what's really important. It's information is only valuable if you know what to do next. And so we're very conservative, I guess you could say, here. And we want to make certain that we validate everything that we tell our veterinarians before we put it out there for widespread use. But yes, it can be used in a wide variety of species.
With you being so conservative, and that is extremely important, because if I were to tell a client, okay, I'm concerned that maybe your pet has cancer, or I'm just doing a screening test and it comes back positive. It's somewhat like maybe a better analogy is when they had these, and still do have, the whole body CAT scans for people. And it comes back, oh, you know, this is an area of concern. And many times it was a false positive. So it's like, do I do this test? Do I believe the results? How specific, how much confidence can I have in saying, yes, this test says there's cancer. I believe it. Now let's go look.
That's a very good question. This test is highly specific for abnormal growths. And what I mean by that is that, let's talk a little bit about the test itself. We're measuring an enzyme called thymidine kinase, hence the word TK, that is involved in cell replication. So it's actually involved in the actual DNA replication process itself. And we're measuring very minute concentrations of this that spills out of the tumor cells into the bloodstream, and that's exactly what our test is all about. The value of the test in terms of its concentration is directly proportional to both the peripheral activity of the tumor as well as overall mass. So the bigger the tumor, the more aggressive the tumor, the higher the result. And that's why the result not only provides a diagnostic detection capability, but also what we call a prognostic capability, and that is the ability to say, is this a very aggressive disease, or did I catch it early and it's, you know, a more mild disease? And those make big differences in whether how you treat the animal. And so the test has a very high degree of specificity, meaning that in a normal animal, the concentrations of this are almost undetectable. And as proliferative activity of a tumor increases, it'll cross over the threshold, and hence it'll be positive. And so if it's the what we call the false positive rate is extremely low. It's about less than 1%, and that's only at the sort of the demarcation point or the point of normal abnormal. As the value gets higher, it's really 0% false positive. So it's a highly specific test, and that's proving out from study to study that we've done so far.
Well, I'm talking right now with Randy Ringel. He is the president and founder of Veterinary Diagnostic Institute, and we're talking about biomarkers. Test comes back positive. We should believe it. Well, let's see what happens once we've treated the pet and do a follow-up. So we'll be following up with this right after this short break. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Celebrate your special occasion and give her this classic semi-eternity band created with 1-carat brilliant diamonds, channel set in 14-carat white gold. Exclusively yours from ICE.com. Free shipping over $150, free returns, and 30-day money-back guarantee.
Go to ICE.com and use promo code ACTFP and get 20% off your purchase. Or use promo code ADTFP and get 20% off at diamond.com. ice.com or diamond.com. Get 20% off from Pet Life Radio.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Welcome to Sassy Seniors, a show about our fabulous older dogs and cats. I'm your host, Kelly Jackson. You know, I wanted to create a show to really showcase our senior pets. And, you know, as the human population ages and lives longer, of course, so are our wonderful pets. But many of us with aging pets, it's so interesting. We have a tough time realizing or really admitting that they are seniors. So, in a way, I kind of like to think of our senior pets as wise puppies. What do you think about that? Be sure to join us for another edition of Sassy Seniors. And remember, celebrate your senior pets.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Mr. Ringle, so, all right, we've done this test. Maybe pets come into me. I've palpated a mass, cat or dog. Send out this blood test. What's the turnaround rate? Because, of course, I'm going to be sitting on pins and needles as well as the owner wanting to know, is it, isn't it? What do I do now?
This is, we turn around the test very quickly. This is run on some very sophisticated equipment, so it's not what we would call a bedside or a cage side test that a veterinarian can run right in their own office. It has to be sent to our reference laboratory, and we use overnight service, so the blood comes to us overnight, and we turn the results around the same day. So from the time that the veterinarian sends us a sample, the results are returned back to the veterinarian within 24 hours, which for most purposes should be very sufficient in terms of turnaround time.
And what I love about this service, there are so many people throughout the United States who don't have access to a board-certified veterinary oncologist. Myself being in Southern California, I'm fortunate to have quite a few around me. But for somebody practicing in the middle of North Dakota, here's a service, send it out, you get the answers back so quickly. It really can help the owner and the veterinarian sometimes make some very serious decisions of what needs to be done. And I've used your service, and yes, your customer service is marvelous. It is a very, very fast turnaround time. Are you working on trying to get this be a bedside or cage side test?
Well, it is one of our goals, but I have to say, from a technology perspective, since we're measuring such minute concentrations, it's going to take some time to do that. But we are looking at technologies that will allow us to get down to measuring at the concentrations that are necessary for this type of test. But we're talking probably a year, 2 years away before we have something of that magnitude.
A year or two is hardly anything. That is wondrous. That is spectacular. I mean, that is just going to be such a wonderful tool, because there have been times dog comes in, golden retriever, just kind of flat out, feel its belly, and here is this huge lump. Take a radiograph and see that it's possibly the spleen that has a big lump on it, maybe blood in the abdomen. Spleens oftentimes will get a change that's not cancerous, big lumps and bumps. They can bleed, and you can't tell the difference even when you're in surgery to know, is this cancer or not? So to have that cage side, table side test, that would be just, again, spectacular.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think in that application, when you have acute like hemangiosarcoma, which is what you're talking about, the acute situation, that would be very, very helpful. But as you know, cancer is there's a lot of different types of cancers. Some are more chronic and slow growing, and others are more acute emergency type situations. In the case of hemangio, that's certainly, you are quite accurate, that is certainly the case. And we hope to be able to provide a tool for the veterinarian and the pet owner in those situations.
You had mentioned that TK measures the amount of this enzyme, and the larger the mass, the more this enzyme that's going to be present. What if you have the type of cancer that is disseminated? It's basically little bits all over the body. Does the same thing hold true?
Absolutely, because it's remember, it doesn't matter where the tumor is, it's all going to be spilling out into the bloodstream. So we're sampling it from the blood itself. So if it's one mass in one location, big mass, it'll produce a certain value. If it's little masses, like a multinodal lymphoma or something like that, that it's still going to be the same problem. It's the accumulated mass of the disease, and that's one thing that makes this thing so very powerful, because it can measure that accumulation rather than just one site.
So along the same thinking, all right, I either have a hemangiosarcoma of a spleen, I remove it, I've looked around, taken some chest films beforehand, I don't grossly see any cancer anywhere else, but knowing that cancer oftentimes will metastasize at one cell at a time, spread throughout the body, can this test be used then for prognosis, you know, the follow-up of this disease?
Absolutely. As you indicated, you never know if the tumor has seeded itself elsewhere in the body. And you may have removed most of the mass, but it might have started up again somewhere else. Upon treatment, whether it's surgical or chemotherapy, the TK value should drop back down to normal levels, because that means you have removed the disease and the production of this enzyme that is occurring in the tumor cells. However, if the tumor reoccurs, regrows in the same site or a different site, it will again produce the TK, in which case the values will then re-elevate above normal, and you will again see it probably well before you know that there is a symptom or you can palpate a node or an ultrasound. So it's a very powerful monitoring tool post-therapy as well.
How frequently, and I'm sure it's on a case-by-case basis, how frequently would this test be used then after surgery, chemotherapy, for this monitoring?
Well, again, every veterinarian has their own treatment profile, but we do have some general recommendations. And our general recommendations is that upon treatment, you want to be checking within 4 to 6 weeks post-treatment to make certain that the values then drop back down to baseline levels. And provided that they have, then we're recommending every 2 to 3 months that it would be then a monitoring type situation, because you want to make certain that the disease does not recur. You have a stable disease process over the coming year, then you could expand that to maybe every 6 months for some level of assurance. But you don't want to let too long of a time go by, because then you're not looking. And the whole point of this test is to be monitoring. So if you're not monitoring with a certain level of frequency, then the usefulness then, of course, is not so good. So we're recommending, like I said, every 2 to 3 months.
As we're also looking for other cancers, what other types of diagnostics right now is your company, Veterinary Diagnostic Institute, looking into?
Well, as we indicated, we our first one that we developed was a heart test, and that is available through, we sold that off to another company. But right now we have this test. We are working on an infection marker. As you know, infections are sometimes very difficult to tell whether or not an animal has an infection or it's just some kind of an inflammatory response. And so we are in the final stages now of developing an infection marker that will become available. We're also looking at various types of markers for early diagnosis of hip dysplasia when you start having more like cartilage diseases. Usually by the time an animal demonstrates that they have problems, all the cartilage is destroyed and there's really nothing you can do. The animal becomes crippled. So we have some early markers that we're looking at right now for the early detection of these diseases, and there are actually some therapeutic interventions that you can help do to actually slow this process down. So we're interested in finding tests that have a very big impact on not only the detection of disease process, but on the quality of life. And I think that's so important today, is that we maintain high levels of quality, and the only way to do that is to find something before the damages occur. And that's our whole mission in life.
Wow, I just learned about the hip dysplasia test. That would just be spectacular. There are so many times when I'll start to counsel a puppy's owner about hip dysplasia. Oh, you know, the parents were fine, or, oh, I have a little breed of dog. It's never going to affect this. I know it's only going to be in German Shepherds and Labradors and Golden Retrievers, but to have a test like this would be wonderful, because there are times it can be so frustrating. You'll take a radiograph. It basically looks normal, but this test would be letting me know, no, I better look maybe a bit more often, or at least make them aware of it and try to address it before you get that crippling change.
Yeah, that's precisely the point. You in order to effect it, for a veterinarian to effectively manage their patient, you got to detect the diseases early. Otherwise, it's really the damage is done, and trying to correct that is sometimes almost impossible.
Would this test for hip dysplasia be good for general arthritis, degenerative joint changes?
Could be. I mean, again, we're early on in our stages, and I always maintain a very conservative stance before we actually get all the clinical data in. But it's these kinds of tests that we are keenly working on to bring to the veterinary community.
That is exciting. Anything else that you can tell us about?
Well, we're working on other things, but that's probably, I think, as far as I want to go at this point.
Being conservative as you are, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Randy Ringgold, you have just given us some wonderful information how our clients can feel better about looking for cancers. Hopefully someday that the screening test is something that most veterinarians will just recommend on a routine basis. It would be something to start, especially at a younger age, because we know cancer can affect any age, any breed, any species too, but the sooner you find it, the greater the chances are of having a good outcome. I've been speaking right now with Randy Ringgold, again, the president and founder of Veterinary Diagnostic Institute. His company has developed some tests that can really save lives. And the whole purpose of the pet doctor is to allow you to be the best pet owner that you can be and have that good quality of life with your pet. Thank you so much for listening. Randy, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
And please tune in again next week when we'll have more information on how you can be the best pet owner that you can be. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz for The Pet Doctor. Thank you for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.